I appreciate that. Say it a lot, but I do think that's important. You ought to show up with your Bible to church. I think that's good. That's your weapon. That's your sword. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse number 20. And this has been heavy on my heart lately. I've been doing a study on the parables. And this one right here has really, I guess the easy way to say it is, came to life for me. This is one that you've probably heard a million times, but until you really start studying deep in the parables and really comprehend, listen, there's so much more than just scratching the surface with the Word of God. Y'all okay with that? Jesus has a way of telling us things that if we study and really pay attention, we can get a lot out of His Word. We don't have to just go away with knowing the same thing over and over again. You spend some time with the Lord and you'll reap what you sow. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse 20 to get the whole parable here. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Now here Jesus is speaking. Pay attention to that. There went out a sower. What was he doing? To sow. Keep that in mind. And it came to pass as he what, church? As he sowed, so here the sower's doing his job. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears, let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Now here, he just gave them the parable. Now here you have the disciples in probably what we would call a state of confusion. They don't quite understand what Jesus just showed them. So, and I think that Jesus laid it out like this so that they would come to him. I don't think Jesus does anything by accident. Y'all okay with that? I think he wanted and anticipated. I definitely know he knew because he was God in the flesh. But he wanted his disciples to say, "Hey, can you break that down for me and explain that in English," or whatever language they were speaking. And us, it'd be English. So here you go. Aren't you glad Jesus can do that for us? Now watch this. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." And he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower, what does he do? Soweth the word. And these," now here he is explaining all the things he just went over. "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they had heard, Satan cometh," what church? "Immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So was the word sown? Yes, the word was sown. Did the sower do his job? Yes, he did. Is it the sower's fault here? No, it is not. Verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown," again, "on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness," receive it with gladness, "and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches." Now, I think Jesus has something for us here. Pay attention. Don't shut down because we're talking about money. "And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the" what? That came right out of Jesus' mouth. "And it becometh" what? In verse 20, he goes on to talk about those These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, please now, God, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, just cover this place right now. Bind the devil off the minds and hearts of your people. Lord, as we dive off into this parable, help us understand there are four categories here this morning. And each and every one of us are in a category. Lord, may we acknowledge the category that we are in and strive to be in the category number four that we should be in, hearing the word, receiving the word, and bringing forth fruit. But if we're not, Lord, may you reveal truth through your Holy Spirit this morning to your individuals, the men and women under the sound of my voice this morning. I pray, God, that you will convict, do what only you can do, and Lord, get them out of the category they should not be in and back on good ground, where they're not just hearing the word of God, but they're receiving it and they're doing it and they're bringing forth much fruit. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll just cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit this morning. Lord, allow me to preach, Lord, with clarity, and Lord, just preach your word. Lord, I'm so thankful thy word is truth. Lord, bless us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. So here we are. Here's the question this morning. What kind of seed are you? What kind of seed are you? The Bible teaches that, behold, there went out a sower to sow. What does this mean? Well, a sower is a person or a machine that scatters seeds into the ground so they can grow. The term can also refer to someone who promotes the spread of something. Can I say this? We should all be sowers of the Word of God. Say amen if you're saved. All right, listen. Before we get started, understand that we're going to go through four different types of seed here this morning. And look, I'm not picking on you. Nobody, God's not picking on you. But the reality is, we're not all in category number four where we should be. Y'all okay with that? We're in a category. Jesus said you're somewhere. So acknowledge where you are this morning. Take the truth of the Word of God that He's going to give you through His Holy Ghost. I believe He's capable and able to do that. And get to the category that you should be in as a Christian. So here we go. We are constantly supposed to be promoting and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget your job as the sower. It's just to sow seed. It is not your job to bring forth increase. That is God's job. Amen. Your job is to be faithful and bring forth seed. You cannot choose which ground they will choose to stand on once you have given them the truth. That will be up to them. I believe we see all over the place many sowers get discouraged because their seed don't sprout up right away. They're not seeing the progress that they would like to see. Hey, can I tell you something? Just keep sowing. Because according to this right here, one in four fall on good ground. So for every four people that I give to the Word of God, some will receive it, some will hear it. Satan will take some of them and change their ideas. The lust of this world, riches will take over. But one of them will fall on good ground. Y'all with me this morning? That one should be enough for you to just keep sowing. You don't get to choose the ground that they build on. A lot of the time, we make the mistake of trying to take responsibility for other people's actions. It is our job just to be faithful in sowing the seed. It is up to the individual to decide what kind of ground they would like to build on. Verse number four, category number one. Please pay close attention this morning. Verse number four, the Bible says this, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Look at verse 15. Here's Jesus explaining what this means to his disciples. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Just like when everyone hears the word of God, Satan is immediately going to go to work on that individual. Y'all okay with that? You got to understand, when you give the gospel, Satan immediately is going to try to work on something. He's going to try to bring up some excuse. Something's going to come up. I mean, the phone's going to ring. They're going to get a text message. Baby's going to start crying. Who knows? Satan's going to try to send a hindrance somewhere to stop the Word of God. That's his job. This is not the fault of the sower. Do not take that personal When Satan steps in and does what Satan is supposed to do, you keep sowing the Word of God. You keep planting the seed that God has required of you to plant. Remember, God will give the increase. It's also very important for us to understand that every individual must make their own personal decision. Where you are today, man, woman, boy, girl, hey, where you are today is your fault. Y'all with me? It's your decision. It's your choice how you choose to build, what ground you choose to build on. If someone's given you the seed of the Word of God, it's up to you to choose what you do with it. Yeah, Satan's going to come in, but hey, you know if you get saved, you have power over him. Everybody okay with that? He don't have to win. You choose to let him win. That's up to you. Don't point fingers at somebody else. Don't say it's because of such and such years ago ticked me off in church. No, that's your fault that you're still bitter and angry and in rebellion. That ain't somebody else's fault. That's your fault. You're the one suffering, not them. They're moving on. Quit holding grudges for crying out loud. When we get to heaven, hey, I don't even know if some of y'all are going to want to go because there ain't no grudges there. Everybody all right? Well, count me out, preacher. I ain't going. Hey, stop. Let's grow up. Let's be men and women that God wants us to be. Stop holding grudges. What they are going to do with the word that has been given to them is up to them. And by the way, the kind of stuff we just talked about, all these little things you let fester in your life, bitterness, anger, hey, Satan's going to take that word and he's going to take it so far away from you. Yeah, you'll still be saved because you got saved. But you'll be of no use for the gospel. Why would you want to live like that? Why would you want to live like that? Many people take for granted that the Word of God has been preached and has been taught and has been offered freely to them. By the way, it's free. Everybody here likes something free, I know. Y'all with me? If it's free, we're going to take it. That's natural. Why not take the gift of salvation and run with it? These are they that hear, but immediately the devil comes in and convinces them there's no need for salvation. They'll be just fine. I fear that there are many around us who are in this category. Hey, this morning, if you're in this category, could I challenge you to rethink your decision? Maybe the Word of God's been given to you. Maybe you did receive salvation, but maybe the Word of God was given to you and you had so many distractions come upon you that Satan took that Word, took it away from you. You did not receive it. You did not get saved. You heard, but you did not receive. You heard, but you did not receive. Hey, you're still dying one day and you're still going to hell. You might be in that category. Don't let your seed be taken away by the fowls of the air. Don't let the wicked one of hell come and convince you that you have no need of Jesus Christ and that salvation for you will one day spend eternity in a lake of fire without him. Take the word of God that has been given you. Receive it with gladness. Put your trust fully on Jesus Christ and get saved. That's category number one. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but I want you to answer the question in your heart. Are you in category number one? Has the Word of God been sown in your heart and the distractions and Satan came in and took it away and you said, no, I don't need what you're offering to me, God. I choose hell. That's category one. Category number two, look at verse 5. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. By the way, it ain't the sower's fault. He's just sowing seed. My Bible tells me to preach the gospel to every creature. Y'all with me? Every creature. I'm talking about long hair, short hair, tattoo, no tattoo, smoker, non-smoker, drug addict, non-drug addict, child molester, non-child molester, murderer, non-murderer. Everybody, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. Hey, if Jesus loved them, you should love them. Every one of them. You just sow the seed. Quit thinking you're better. Because you're not. I'm not. Some fell on stony ground. Look at verse 16. Jesus explains this for us. These are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. But verse 17 says this. And have no root in themselves. You know what that means? You got saved. but you didn't grow in Christ. And then he goes on to say, and so endure but for a time. You'll last for a little while. You'll be faithful for a little while, but pretty quick you won't be. You'll be nowhere to be found. Hey, I'm just trying to help you. I ain't trying to offend you this morning. I'm just trying to preach the Bible. And I'm not going to apologize for that. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended. Now, can we just get over this word? Offended. You know, blessed are they that love thy law and nothing shall what? If you get so offended that you don't go to church, you have no spirituality about you. You're about as spiritual as a gnat. Y'all know what gnats do? They annoy the daylights out of people. Y'all with me? That's about how much spirituality you have. Hey, because your relationship with God should be more important than anything for you. What he or she did or said shouldn't affect your relationship with God. You're not quitting on me. You're not quitting on your church family. You're quitting on God. Because you're offended. Why? Because you have no real relationship to begin with. You got saved, and that was good enough for you. I'm going to continue living how I want to live. I'm going to do the things I want to do. I don't need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yes, you do, if you want to make it. And I ain't talking about making it to heaven. I'm talking about making it as a joyful Christian. They receive the word with gladness, but they really have no root within themselves. They receive it initially. They get saved. They get on fire for God. You've seen them. They go soul winning. They show up to everything every time the doors open. But immediately something little happens. And you'll start seeing they're not here. They're not here. They're not here. They're not here. Where are they at? Why ain't they here? You see them all the time. When hard times come and persecution and affliction arises, immediately they get offended and know not what to do. These are the kind of people who really have no true relationship with God. They get saved. And here's where the local church comes in. They never get discipled. Hey, church, it's important that we disciple new converts. They must know who they are in Christ to survive, to make this thing work. These are the ones who will maybe show up to church once or twice a week if they feel like it. These are the ones who will not be involved in the local church. These are the ones who have no true relationship with God, and anytime something happens in their life, they're just going to fall away. You know them. You know them. A lot of people are in this category. I dare say the majority of believers today are in this category. They were excited about getting saved, but then life happened, and they really don't care about Jesus, and definitely have no relationship with Him. You want to find these people? Hey, these are the ones at home on Sunday morning. At home on Sunday night, not in church on Wednesday night. They don't tell people about Jesus. It's all about them. They're saved and they know it. Clap your hands. That's all you got. If that's the level of your spirituality, shame on you. They know Jesus. They want everybody to know. They're saved. I'm a member of that church down there. I don't really go. I love this when you go and you door knock and they say, oh yeah, I go to New Hope Baptist Church. I'm like, that's funny, I'm the preacher there. What's the preacher's name? Oh, well, you ain't been there in at least a year and a half. Y'all with me? They're out there. Oh yeah, we go to church. Tell me one person's name that goes to church there. I do this to people all the time. Why? Because it's fun. I want them to know that I know they're liars and they need to be in church. Amen? Not trying to offend them. I'm just trying to prove to them, hey, I know you're lying. I ain't going to say you're a liar. But hey, listen, they want everybody to know, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm a member of that church down there. I ain't been there in 10 years, but I'm a member. Oh, by the way, we got a business meeting next week. I'm showing up for that. Hello? Y'all with me? That's dangerous. God knows you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Business wants to go on. You're going to be in church. But when church is happening, you ain't nowhere to be found. God knows who you are, and you will reap what you sow. I just offended somebody. But that's okay. I'm not apologizing. They have no root in the Word of God. When trials and affliction come, your relationship with God will not get stronger, but it will get weaker. Hey, I can personally tell you that through my weakest times physically in life, times such as not knowing if my baby girl was coming out of the hospital alive, times that I'm not proud to say that, I don't take this for granted. Look, I'm glad that happened to me. Brother Tim, I'm glad that happened because I had no choice but to turn to God. Brother Travis, I didn't have nobody in the world that could make me feel better. It was right about the same, I mean, literally, COVID started the day after Carolina was born. My wife had to have an emergency surgery right after Carolina was born. She wasn't even able to come down to the NICU to be with her. I couldn't go upstairs to see my wife for 3 days. All they did, they said, look, we have a camera we can put on the baby and we can take that up to your wife's room and put it on her TV. And that's how she saw her baby for the first 3 days. She didn't get to hold her, didn't get to touch her, didn't get to say hi to her. I didn't get to go see, hey, how you doing? I had no idea how my wife was doing. Just through phone, that's it. I didn't get to hold her hand and comfort her. She was alone, I was alone, but hey, we weren't alone. God was showing us that we're never alone. Hey, when trials come, your relationship with God should get stronger. It should not get weaker. It should get stronger. That's category number two. Category number three, verse number seven. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. What in the world does this mean? Well, that's the question the disciples said. Tell us about this. Look at verse 17 or 18 and 19. He said this, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." You know, I don't think it's an accident that God said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Y'all think he put that in there by accident? He also said this, "Riches, the lust of this world, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful." This is category number three. Jesus goes on to tell us about the ones who fell among the thorns. Again, we have a sower. By the way, the sower was just doing his job. Again, sower, hey, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Sower, keep on sowing. You ain't ever going to give the wrong person the gospel. Keep on doing your job. Again, do not be discouraged if you are the one sowing seed, for you are just being obedient. You know, our Bible teaches us to obey is better than sacrifice. I still believe that's true today. Here Jesus tells us, these are the ones that have heard the word of God. They hear, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the big M word, money, and the lust of other things choke the word which they have heard, and that person becomes unfruitful. How sad would it be to be in this category of someone who hears the word of God, knows exactly what they're supposed to do, but in your heart you care more about riches and other things than you do the Word of God. Hey, a lot of people are in this category. A lot of people are in this category. Because of this, your thoughts have overtaken and overpowered you and caused you to not even care about the things of God and the things that God would have you to do. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. If you were here, you would have heard this. God has a plan for your life. Y'all with me? God doesn't waste pain. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste treasure. He doesn't waste talent. He doesn't waste anything. God, if He saved you, He has a plan for you, ma'am. Sir, if He saved you, He has a plan for you. His ultimate plan is to be conformed to His image. The Bible teaches that those of you who are in this category are unfruitful. The next time you ask yourself the question, why am I not winning anyone to Christ? Well, look at this category and see if you fall into it. Has the lust of this world, riches, overtaken your mind and you're so focused on carnal things that are going to pass away? Hey, one day you're going to die and you're not going to think about your bank account. You're not going to think about anything other than the judgment seat that's coming. By the way, You're going to look God in the eyes, and you're either going to have to say to him, I cared more about you than I did that stuff down there, or I cared more about that stuff down there than I did about you. I really appreciate you saving me. I'm sorry I wasted your time. Hey, that judgment seat's coming to all of us. Y'all okay with that? Every single one of us. We're going to answer to God. And please don't get offended this morning. We already preached on that, okay? Look at this category and see if you fall into it. Do I care more about money and riches and the lust of this world than I do about God? The Bible teaches us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, if Satan can convince you that your money is more important than someone's salvation, you'll never be a soul winner. You'll never be fruitful as a child of God. I'm not saying we should not be responsible and be frugal with the things that God has given us, but we cannot let the cares of this world and the riches of this world that will soon pass away be more important to us than seeing people saved. That's got to be the main focus of the local church. The good news is, if you're in this category this morning, here's the best news you're ever going to hear. You can get out. You can get out. You can become not just a hearer of the Word of God, but a doer of the Word. God desires for each and every seed to be sown and to be fruitful in His kingdom. Hey, when's the last time you gave the gospel to somebody? Preacher, I've never gave the gospel to anybody. Shame on you. Hey, but don't let the devil beat you down about it. Do something about it. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Because really and truly, the world don't really care. Y'all know that? They don't. Let's just be honest. We're all about us. Push come to shove, we're taking care of me first, right? Y'all with me? It's true. That's how we all think. But look, don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't let the devil beat you up and say you've never been a good Christian. Hey, there's none good, no, not one, devil. But let me tell you something about you. You're going to hell. You're going to the lake of fire. I'm not going to hell. And I'm going to start doing better because of who I am in Christ. Who are you? Devil said, hey, I'm a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Devil, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And because of that, I'm fixing to get in on this thing. I'm fixing to start doing something for the cause of Christ. Hey, we're all commanded to, right? Lastly, one more category. Everyone's like, praise the Lord, those categories are over. That's what I said when I was studying this thing, just so you know. You're not alone. Verse 8. The Bible says this, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Verse 20, Jesus goes on to say this, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60 and some 100. Hey, listen, everybody in this church right now has heard the Word of God. If you've sat here in the last 30 minutes, you've heard that Jesus died for your sins. You've heard it. Not my fault. Not anybody else's fault. You've heard it. Now the question is, have you received the Word of God? What does that mean? Well, John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Have you received Him? Many people hear the Word of God. Many people hear the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I believe, according to the Bible, unless they're under that age where they don't understand, babies, young children, no one's going to die without excuse, or with an excuse, I should say. No one will die and go to hell with an excuse that I didn't hear. If they go to hell, that means that God enlightened them and they chose to reject Jesus Christ. Everybody okay with that? That's their decision. Verse number 20 again says, these are they which sown on good ground. They hear the word, they receive the word, and they bring forth fruit. What this tells me as a sower of God is that one in four seeds that I sow are going to fall on good ground. We started the message with that, and I want to end it with this. If you are a sower of the Word of God this morning, listen, please be not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap, if you faint not. If you faint not. If you faint not. Hey, we know that all things work together for good. That ain't where the verse ends. To them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Hey, that's who all things work together good for. There's a 75% chance of the seed you sow not becoming fruitful. How many has ever gardened before? You ever had a garden that failed? It ain't because you planted the seed. Just because something didn't work out, did it? Maybe it was a lack of water, lack of sunlight. Maybe the ground was bad. Maybe the bugs got, I don't know. But I know this. Every time we plant a seed, it can't grow if we don't plant it. It can't grow if we don't plant it. People ain't going to get saved if we're not telling them about Jesus. That's what we're here for. 75% chance of that seed not becoming fruitful. Well, why in the world should I do this? Because 25% of them are going to be fruitful. And if the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents, hey, you ought to rejoice over one seed that gets planted on good ground, springs forth, hears the word, receives the word, and becomes fruitful itself. Because guess what? That 25% just went and told another 25%. And that 25% just won another 25%. And another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And it all goes back to the seed that you planted. And when you get to heaven, God will show you something like this. I could just picture it. Remember that lady that you won to Christ in 1990? Well, she went on to become a missionary's wife, and they've seen thousands of souls saved in Japan. And let me show you the thousands that have been saved because you were faithful, and you led that lady to Christ. And I pricked her heart. She was on good ground. She heard my word. She received my word. She became fruitful. She married a missionary. Here are the thousands that now know me because you were faithful. Just one more soul matters. Just one more soul matters, folks. This also tells me that it's not my fault. If I'm just being faithful, it is up to the individual again to do what he's supposed to do with the Word of God. Don't be discouraged as a sower. Just keep sowing. Verse 20, Jesus tells us that these are they which are sown on good ground. They hear the word, they receive the word. And have you ever experienced, how many's ever told someone about Jesus and they got it? You watch them, you watch the light bulb come on. You know what I'm talking about? If you've been a teacher or preacher or any kind of ministry long enough, or maybe just visiting and telling someone about the Lord, and sometimes you're going to be like, nah, I ain't going to want nothing to do with that. But occasionally, you're going to see a little light bulb come on. Them eyes will get real big. Jesus died for me? Yes. Why would he do that? And you say, look, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about me. Hey, don't ever be ashamed to give your testimony. Give them something to relate with. Don't ever make them think you're better than them. The only thing you have that they don't is Jesus. You're still a sinner. Y'all with me? But you've heard the word, you've received it, and you're being fruitful. Use that as an opportunity to further the gospel. They hear the word, they receive the word, they bring forth fruit. They hear the word, which is a wonderful thing. Miss Barb, could you come to the piano this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. No one looking around. We're going to kill the live stream.